over to 1 Peter and see what the Lord has to say here. I'm sorry, 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. The Lord sure is good to us. We'll try to be timely this morning, but I believe that we're in the perfect will of God. I love and agree with what Brother Dennis said. If we don't let the kids have a part in their church, it won't be their church too long. And as long as they want to sing about the goodness of God, let's let them sing. Let's let them testify. Because to be honest, most of you adults just sit there and don't say a word anyway. So if it wasn't for the kids, it would be dry and dead in here. Right? And I'm one of the adults. Trust me, I know. But I get all kinds of meetings. My favorite are the youth meetings. Because kids got something to say. And God's fresh. He's new to them. And they've got big ideas, big dreams with God. And most of the time they don't go through them because we discourage them. We don't want to be a good testimony to them. So I love the children. And I believe God loves the children too. But 1 John chapter 3, we'll read some scripture here this morning. Verse 1, the Bible says in chapter 3 of 1 John, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us." That word "behold" means to see or to look upon. This morning, I believe what the Holy Ghost is trying to say is that if you'll just take a little bit of time this morning, open up your heart, the emotional side of your mind, and just listen to what God has to say. He wants you to not just see it and glance over it, but behold, like an engagement ring to a young lady. And she's just, wow, he wants you to behold the thing. He wants you to look at it. He wants you to understand what he's fixing to say here this morning. What manner, the form or the method of love that the Father hath bestowed or given upon us. God's given us something wonderful as his children. That we should be called the sons of God. Well, right there, it just changes it a little bit. I could bring a young man up here and tell you I loved him and you'd get it. You know, well, you're a preacher, you love God. I know that. But if I were to bring my boy up here, one of my girls up here, and tell you how much I love him, it would change your perception of the love. Because you'd say he's one of his kids. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that he'd call us the sons of God. That's the type of love he's talking about. He wants you to just pay attention a little bit, because I'm not just somebody, I'm his somebody. I'm his child, I'm the son of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth against also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Verse 8 says, "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil," which are what? Sin. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. You say, well, I'm a sinner and I'm born of God. That word "commit" just means the course of conduct. It means the way you're living. I'm not talking about a mess up. I'm not talking about, where we make a bad choice and then we pull 1 John 1:9, where if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm talking about a conduct in your life where sin just repeats itself over and over again. See, there's a difference between iniquity and sin. Iniquity was bound in our hearts. In other words, it's who I am as a man in this flesh, iniquity. I want to lie. I want to cheat. I want to steal. It's the character of this being. But sin is a willful choice to offend God. And so when we have sin in our life, we're willfully offending God. And we choose not to do what's right. That's the difference between sin and iniquity. And so he's talking about here, he says, "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin," or have this course of conduct in your life where all you're doing is sinning all the time and you're not wanting to pull 1 John 1:9 out of the book. "For his seed remaineth in him. I've become a new creature in Christ. Behold, all things have passed away. All things become new." That thing he's talking about when we get born again, that new creature in us. Are you following me this morning? All right. "For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God." He cannot sin. In other words, you can't keep that course of conduct in your life. There's something about when you're born again, it just wants to change the course of conduct. That's that new creature, preacher, right? Isn't that what you experienced when you got born again? I don't know what it is, but something changed in me when I got saved, that the course of conduct, that the sin in my life just wants to cease. I'm still a sinner. In other words, I keep messing up. But there's a course of conduct that's different. In this, the children of God are manifest. In other words, listen, this is how you know you're saved. You're like, I don't understand that, preacher. Well, maybe you're not saved. I don't understand that this concept you're talking about, that when you're born again, there's something inside of me that says, you know what, I don't want to sin against God. I don't want to grieve God. I know I sin. I know I willfully make choices. But when the Holy Ghost reveals that to me, you know what, I want to pull 1 John 1:9 out of the book. Say, Lord, I'm sorry that I've sinned. If we confess our sins, see, he wants us to acknowledge it, just to keep the fellowship there. This book of 1 John deals with that fellowship between a father and a son, the closeness in the relationship. Right? There's a sweetness in this relationship of fellowship. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil and the children of the devil. In other words, he's trying to say, listen, this is how you'll know. If it's not manifesting itself in your life, then you know that you're not of the Father, then you're of your father, the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. If you have this course of conduct in your life where you're sinning against God and it doesn't grieve your spirit, then you're not of your Father in heaven. You're of your father, the devil. Preacher, what are you saying? I'm just reading the Bible. He says, doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Well, hold on. Now we're going to change the message a little bit. That last little phrase there of verse 10. In this the children of God are manifest. So we'll pause there. And we talked about the children of the devil and doeth not righteousness. But watch this. What if I cut that section out there in the middle that talks about the children of the devil? In this, the children of God are manifest. And then it talks about them doing wrong. Neither he that loveth not his brother. So we pick up here in verse 11. The Bible says, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. That we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother is righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother hath need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. I want to preach on this thought this morning. Loving one another. Do we really love one another? I mean, we read the beginning part of this chapter, and it talks about how we act and how sin abideth in us, and how if we sin perpetually like that, that we're of our father the devil. But if we're of our Father in heaven, that we should act like that. That we should do righteousness. But I want to look at the message of love in verse 11. He says, behold the manner of love in verse 1, and how the Father bestowed it upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. In other words, kind of taken after the Father. If we can behold how God loved us and we're his children, we should be like our Father. I mean, I take on a resemblance of style in the way my dad preaches because I'm around my dad all the time. I kind of look like my dad. I'm built like my dad. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I take on the characteristics of my Father. So he said, if we can behold the manner of love the Father hath bestowed, or the form or the method, the way he's given it to us, maybe we should love that way. Verse 11, I want you to look at the message of love. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. You know, the truth of the matter is, preacher, it's just that simple. As brethren, as children of God, I mean, as the family of God, it's our responsibility to love one another. I mean, it seems like a simple commandment. I love you. But it's more than word and deed, right? I mean, to really love somebody, imagine if I just said to my wife, I love you. I mean, how much further does it have to go? Do I need to show her some type of love? Do I need to act upon it? I mean, what if I never spent any time with her? What if I never called her? What if I never did anything for her? What if I just said I loved her? But the thought is, I'm supposed to love her. She's my wife. If I didn't, you'd say, man, why'd you marry her? Right? But the message is this. We ought to love one another. And then we look at verses 12 through 13. Look at the marvel of love. And he says, look, if we love one another, he says, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? The Holy Ghost asks you this question. Why did Cain kill his brother? I mean, it's his brother. He's supposed to love him. He asked that question. In other words, he's wanting you to think about that. It's not because the Holy Ghost is like, hey, I never did figure that one out. Maybe y'all could help me. The Holy Ghost knows why Cain killed Abel. But have you ever thought about it? What was it about these two boys, these brothers? I mean, brothers should be sticking together. I mean, thick or thin. They should be able to punch each other in the face and nobody say anything bad about one of them. You know what I mean? I mean, it's family. But not Cain. What was it, preacher, that caused Cain to kill Abel? Jealousy, greed, bitterness, anger, strife. All those things. If I start talking like that, man, I start thinking of the devil. I start thinking about somebody who maybe their father's the devil. I mean, bitterness, anger, strife, division, discord, hatred, jealousy, pride. None of those are fruits of the Spirit. I mean, when I think of fruits of the Spirit, I'm thinking of long-suffering, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Long-enduring. You know what I mean? Long-suffering. He said, wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil. The word evil means just far from God, separated from God. And then he says this, and his brothers were righteous. He got jealous because of where his brother was living and how he was fellowshipping with God, and Cain couldn't deal with that. That marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. See, Cain started to hate Abel because Abel was trying to live for God. Abel was trying to do what was right. When God commanded him, said, here's how I want you to sacrifice. Here are the things I want you to do. And he starts living for God. And I'm sure he had those fruits. And I'm sure he was good to Cain. I mean, I read it in my Bible. When Cain didn't do what was right before God, Abel, what's Abel do? Abel, the Bible says that he brought more than he needed for sacrifice. He brought an extra sacrifice for Cain. And as he presented that, I'm sure he was like, hey, Cain, you know, I got enough here. And Cain started to get bitter and hate him. Cain couldn't understand, why are you bringing me something? It was the love that was inside of Abel. It was the love of the Father that was manifesting itself through Abel in the way that he was dealing with Cain. But Cain didn't have that same experience. He couldn't understand why Abel was doing that. See, and we as believers, we have that same love. You know, we go through and we're Christians. And we're going to people, we're knocking on their doors, and we're benevolent. We're trying to help them. And maybe they're broken in spirit. Maybe they're contemplating suicide. Maybe they're living in sin. Maybe they're doing something. And in the compassion that Christ has given us, we're reaching out to them in the Word of God. We're giving them CDs. We're giving them tracts. We're preaching to them. We're bringing them goods. We've got a pantry out here that we're trying to take care of. We're loving people. And the world is confounded. They're like, what in the world is going on? What's wrong with you people? What do you mean you give tithes and offering to the church? Doesn't that church just take care of people at the homeless shelter, and then people are on drugs and wicked, and you know what you could be doing with that money? And the world is like, you people are crazy loving people. And we're like, you don't get it? The world marvels, says, I can't comprehend the love you're talking about. I mean, I love my wife and I love my kids, but that's about as far as it goes. And I'm thinking to myself, I think of Brother Adam and that little boy. And I'm thinking, man, when he talks about that boy, that's his son. I mean, man, he loves him. And his eyes, they tear up and he weeps over him. And he has joy and gladness in his heart towards that boy. And I'm thinking, most people don't get that. Most people don't understand the cross at Calvary and a father's love towards the son. I mean, it causes the world to marvel. This is a love they don't understand. It's a message of love. It's a marvel of love. Look at verses 14 through 15. Look at the manifestation of love. We know that we have passed from death unto life. That's talking about, we know that we've passed from being lost and of our father the devil to of our father in heaven. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Listen, this manifestation in our spirit, it changes. You know, when we step into the house of God, and listen, there, I don't know half the people in the services this week, but I'll be honest with you. I'm sitting on the pew and I feel like I've known everybody. I don't even know their names, but I feel so comfortable. I could be like, hey, you got a mint? My breath stinks. You know what I mean? I'm like, you shouldn't say that. You don't know them people, but I feel like I do. I mean, I walk up to somebody, I don't know their name. I'm like, hey, brother, how are you? You know what? And he's like, good, man. And there's just something. I'm like, you know, he loves me. I can feel it. Why? Because his father's my father. Man, we're family. I don't know you, man, but I'm wanting to hug you already. I don't know what it is, but I feel like if I said, hey, would you pray for me? I believe this man might weep for me. And there's something. I'm like, I don't know who you are. And I see the kids, and I'm like, man, these are like my kids. You know, it's like this manifestation of love, it's starting to show itself in the way I think and the way I feel. And I don't understand it. Sometimes it causes me to marvel. I'm like, how could I love them like that? But even worse, how could they love me like that? I mean, I'm nobody. I'm nobody. And people walk down the aisle of the church like, Brother Polk, how you doing? I'm like, I'm doing good. I love Jesus. You love Jesus? Yeah, I love Jesus too. And I'm like, why do they like me? I mean, really? I know what goes on in here, you know, and it causes me to marvel. And I'm, you know, it's the love of God. It's the love of God. And then I see somebody that doesn't like me, and I love them anyway. Amen. This love that the Father's bestowed upon us, it's crazy love. It changes men. It changes the hearts of men. It causes us to go above and beyond. That's the love that when we come into this church, he says, that's what I want to hear. That's what I want to see. You can't be my people unless you possess this love, unless this love manifests itself. He says, we know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. What's that mean? Abides. Continues. Continues. So you walk in here and you're like, okay, I get that love you're talking about. But if the love's not manifesting itself in your spirit, in your tongue, in your word, in your deed, in your heart, then the love hasn't manifested itself in your life, then you abide in death according to the word of God. Right. But see, when you get born again and this love possesses you, it fills you, and you start to understand who God is, it starts to change you. But it says it right here in verse 14, he that loveth not his brother abideth or continues in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. He's a murderer. Ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. You know what that means? That hatred. It's either one or the other. You can't be like, I'm a lover and be full of hate. You can't be a hater and full of love. I mean, the two just don't mix. And you're either loving your brother or you're hating your brother. When you come into church, you're either full of love and compassion and tenderheartedness and forgiveness and long-suffering and meekness. You're either full of those things or you're not. And when you come in here and you got the chip on your shoulder and the bitterness and you won't forgive and there's the envy and the strife and the contention and the pride, you need to think about it. Because he says, look, this is where love abides, and he's like a murderer. And then he says that eternal life is not abiding in him. In other words, he's saying Jesus Christ isn't in your heart. When you have Jesus Christ, you'll act like Jesus. You'll have the love of Jesus. Start to understand what he's talking about with this love. So then look at this. Look in verse 16. Look at the perception of the spirit of love. He gives us this example, and he's given understanding to it. What is, all right, how do I, if I know I'm saved, preacher, but I'll be honest with you. I come into church, I harbor some of those feelings. I do, I act that way, and you know what I mean? And I have feelings, and I get on the altar, and I pull 1 John 1:9 out of the book. Lord, I'm sorry I feel that way. God says, all right. We're good, but I want you to change your heart. I want you. But how do we know? How do we know that it's really in us? That it's not just something I'm trying to be on my own? He says this in verse 16. He says, hereby perceive we are to have knowledge of the love of God. Because he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Here's the perception. Here's how we see it. I just got to use Jesus Christ as my example. You know, when Jesus Christ went to the cross for you, that was love. No greater love than this, than a man laid down his life for his friends. Here's what he said. When I went to the cross, I gave everything. I left everything. I had you on my mind. Every stripe. Every time they plucked the hairs from my beard. Every time they punched me and they spit upon me. Every time that the hammer struck the nail and it was driving through the woods, through my hands. All the things that he suffered on the cross, he did it in love. All the suffering, all the affliction, the separation from the Father, all those things, the King of glory coming down from heaven in the form of a servant laid on a cross. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. It was laying down. It wasn't forced upon him. Some people say that they took his life. If Jesus would have never gave up the ghost, he'd have never died. He'd still be hanging on a cross. They could take every ounce of blood out of his body. They could pierce and break every bone they wanted to. But he is life. And he would have never died. You couldn't take his life. He gave his life for you. And when he said, Father, it's finished. And the Bible says he gave up the ghost. He said, I'm going to die now. They tried. They took everything out of him they could. And then we said, it's finished. I'm going to die for you. He laid down his life. You ever lay something down? It ain't dropping it. That means you purpose your mind. I'm going to put it right here. I'm going to walk over there and I'm going to put it down. I got a place for it. I'm going to lay it down. That's what he's talking about laying down. That's what he's saying. Hereby perceive we the love of God, that he laid down his life for us. Hereby perceive we the love that we have in our heart towards the brethren. When you walk in those doors and you lay down your life for the brethren. It doesn't matter, man. It doesn't matter if you ticked me off or not. It doesn't matter what you said. It doesn't matter whether you crossed the line or not. It's the love of God. It's the love of God. And it doesn't matter. It's not something that we deserve. It's just something that we give. We lay it down for them. But the perception of the spirit of love. But look at the performing spirit of love in verse 17 through 18. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother hath need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? You know what that ended with? A question mark. In other words, that means you're to stop right there. You answer that question. I love question marks in the Bible because I just stop. And then I go, what am I supposed to think about here, Lord? And he says, I want you to pay attention to this. It's a question I've asked you. That's what a question mark is. It's not for the next person. That question mark's for you. So answer yourself this question. But who hath this world's good and seeth his brother hath need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him? That bowels of compassion means the deepest part. I'm talking about going as far as you can go and it costing you as much as it can cost. I'm talking about the bowels of compassion. Shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him. Here's the question. How dwelleth the love of God in him? Listen, man, if you're not reaching down into the bowels of compassion towards the brother in love, where's the love of God in you? Where is it? That's what he's asking us. You know what he's trying to do, preacher? He's wanting us to examine ourselves right here. He's wanting us to look and say, you know what? Am I loving the way that God loves? We ought to love one another. Well, I get it. Yeah, I love you too. No, but do you love me? You know, that's what he was saying to Peter. You love me? Yeah, I love you. No, do you love me? Yeah, but do you love me? Feed my sheep. What was the cost to love God? What's it cost to love the brethren? The performing spirit of love. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. That takes me back to James chapter 1, verse... somebody help me here. James chapter 1. I think it's verse 12 or something like that. I'm going to read it to you. Y'all sung yourselves to death. I'm preaching myself here. James chapter 1, verse 22. I was wrong. Sorry. James, the early letter to the Christians. The first epistle, he's trying to teach them how to live. He's trying to teach them what's right. Not one mention about what we wear. Not one mention about the outward appearance of a man. All about the inside of a man in James. Listen, he says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Listen, if all we do is hear it and don't do anything, we deceive ourselves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So we go back here to 1 John. He said, my little children, let us not love in word. I love you, brother. God bless you. Boy, I'm praying for you. I love you, sis. Man, I love you. I could care less about her. But it made me look good. You know, I'm a preacher. Ain't that the truth? Listen, I'll be honest. If I said, if there wasn't a time that I looked at somebody, shook their hand and smiled, and there wasn't something inside me, it's like, do I really care? But he's talking about the performing spirit of love. That means the way it's performing in my life. How is love acting? What's it doing about me? How's it changing me, preacher? But if I'm willing to go up to a brother and be like, man, I love you. I better think about it. What's your need? Man, I want to love you. Are you hurting, man? How you doing? Jesus good? Man, is there something I can do for you? I'll pray for you. But does it stop there? I'll pray for you. Man, we say that a lot. I'll pray for you. That's where he says this, neither in tongue. You doing all right? Did you get that roof fixed? Bless God. Well, listen, if you need something, let me know. My number, and then you give them a number off. Oh, sorry, brother. Or you know, or you really call me. And, oh, brother, I want to come over and help you so much, but this just isn't a good day for me. Come anyway. That's what I'm saying. Come, that'd be love, wouldn't it? Love would be like, you know what, you need me? Man, I'm going to cancel it. My brother needs me. I'd come anyway, neither in word, neither in tongue only. I mean, what good is it if we, you know, if somebody knocks on the door of the church door and they say, Pastor, Pastor, help, Pastor. My family's in trouble. Help! Yeah, I'll be right out. Whew, here's another one. Listen, yeah, you know what? Come on Saturday. We got the mission out there. I mean, I'm talking about answering the door. Come in. Listen to what they need. Getting on the phone. Hey, man, I got a family that's in crisis. I got a family in the church that's in crisis. I got somebody that's hurting. I mean, not just in tongue, not just in word. But he says this. He said, but in deed and in truth. See, the difference is, when they come in, you're not saying, oh God, here we go again. See, there's a difference in the spirit. But he said this, but it, not just in word, not just in tongue, but in deed. He didn't stop there. You can't be murmuring and complaining and whatever other word you want to throw in there about having to serve God. He says, but do it in truth. That's what he means by greet the brethren with a holy kiss. Right? It just means that when you greet them, don't deceive me. Old Judas, he greeted Jesus with not a holy kiss. He did it in deception. But he's talking about when they come in, you do it in truth. You have true compassion with the bowels of mercy and grace. And you forfeit, you sacrifice, because not just in word, not just in deed, but in truth and honesty. This is the love. This is, and you know why we perceive this love? Because this is how Jesus was. He didn't just say he loved us. Right? He didn't just, well, what's it say? Neither in tongue. He didn't just say it. Neither just in word. He didn't just write it down here. But in deed and in truth. You know what that meant? Jesus went to the cross for you. He did. Agreed? But he did it in truth. The Bible says there was no guile upon his lips. You know what that word guile means? Upon his lips. That meant he didn't have to utter it. It means that the thought never even entered his mind. She doesn't deserve it. The thought never entered his mind. He doesn't deserve it. That meant the whole time he was on the cross, he did it in truth and in love. And he said, I'm here for you because I love you. Oh, you know you're a wicked sinner. Godly sorrow worketh repentance. That's when you start believing in your sin and trespasses that Jesus Christ in truth died on the cross for you because he just loved you with no guile on his lips. The performing spirit of love. Look at verse 24. We'll read down here. And hereby in verse 19, we know to have that confidence that we are of truth. Here's how you know. And shall assure or confirm or make certain our hearts before him. And I think that's what's important. You'll never know, preacher, if I really love you. I'm a good actor. I don't know if you really love me. You're a good actor. But Jesus knows. He'll confirm the hearts of men. You want to know if it's real? Ask Jesus if it's real. Lord, am I loving them the way I'm supposed to? Lord, am I just doing it in word? Lord, am I just doing it in tongue? Am I just doing it in deed? Lord, but I want to do it in truth. God, help me to have the right heart to love the brethren. Lord, not that they deserve it, but Lord, help me to love them like you loved them on the cross. With no guile upon my lips. For if our heart condemn us, or pronounce us wrong, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. He could change you. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. I believe those things that we ask are those things to meet the needs of those that we love. Because we ask not of ourselves. Lord, help me that I could help Brother Dennis. That I could help Brother Jim. Lord, that I could be there with Sharon. Oh God, help me. Verse 23, and this is His commandment. Commandment. This isn't a good idea. Listen, if you want to be right with God, then you just need to obey. This is a commandment from God. And this then is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. We don't mind getting born again, but we want to stop there. And I'm glad you want to get saved. But I sure would like to see you continue through with the and love one another, watch, as He gave us commandment. It's important. It's important. Verse 24, He says this. Look at the possession of the Spirit of love. He that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him. And hereby we know that He abideth in us. You want to know? You ever doubted your salvation? You just wonder sometimes. Here's how we know that He's in us. I ain't like I used to be. I'm just not like that anymore. I can't explain why I feel the way that I feel. You call me certain names, I'm liable to punch you in your mouth. But now I don't care what you think about me. Something changed in my life. You could think about me what you want. But I'm going to kiss the brethren with a holy kiss. I'm going to serve them. I'm going to love them. If I got to humble myself before them to make a difference in life, I don't care what you think. I want to love them. I want to walk out the door and you say, you know what, I believe He loved me. I don't know what it is about that preacher. He ain't the best preacher. He doesn't have the best outlines. He can sing. But there's one thing I know. That man of God loves me. He loves my kids. He wants to see them serve God. And He's concerned whether I'm reading my Bible. And He's concerned about the walk of God in my life. And He's concerned when I'm hurting. And He's concerned when I'm in troubles. And when there's struggles. And when there's discord or division in my house. That the man of God, He loves me. I believe that. That's what makes this preacher so great to me. I know way more famous preachers than him that people would love to have on their phone. And I got their numbers on my phone. Last night, Kenny Baldwin said, do I got your number? I said, no. He goes, well, give it to me. That's pretty cool. I got a direct line to Kenny Baldwin. Call me whenever you want. But I don't know Kenny Baldwin like I do this man. I believe he loves me. Listen, I'm picking on him because he's pretty famous. He preaches all over the world. But, and all joking aside, this man of God loves me. If I needed to call one of the two because I needed somebody now that I knew they were going to act upon love, I'd call Dennis Gilbert. Because of the relationship I've seen Him work in my life. I believe He prays for me. It's the love that makes a difference in my life. And that's what He's trying to say. If this love will manifest itself in your life towards your friends and towards your church people, it's going to make a difference in their life. Hereby perceive we the love of God. We know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us. If you're saved, this is that Spirit that He's given you. That's how we know we're saved. I ain't like I used to be. Oh boy, I'm closing, preacher. You get somebody to sing the song. This boy in our church, his name's Frank Given. He's wicked. Listen, he used to do, this is how stupid he is. Was. I don't know. Some things don't change. Listen, this is true. I'm not exactly.